Wairua Tapu, we welcome your presence, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your love, your affection for every person in this room this morning. Jesus, I thank you for your compassion. You may wonder why this may be all new to you. You may wonder why we're just so excited about Jesus. It's because of what he has done in our lives, who he is and what he continues to do. His presence is here. His presence wants to touch you this morning. Just as I was praying for you all this morning, I felt the Lord show me this picture. The Bible says that there was a man who came to Jesus. The Bible describes that he was full of leprosy. Leprosy was just a terrible disease. It was something that brought great rejection, brought great shame. Cut people off from their families. It was a skin disease. Just a horrendous thing. The Bible says this man that was full of leprosy, got no hope, full of shame, tried to hide it the best that he could. He couldn't hide it any longer, and it began to affect his life. There was no hope for him. He came to Jesus. Fell on his feet. He said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And this is the nature of Jesus. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and said, oh, I'm willing, be cleansed. The Bible says immediately that leprosy left that man. He received his mana back. He received wholeness, shame left. Friend, you may not have leprosy here this morning, but there may be other things that have brought shame or bringing shame into your life. You've come to the right place. Jesus is still the same. It doesn't matter what you're ashamed of, doesn't matter what you're experiencing in your heart. Jesus is still the same. He is here this morning. His presence wants to come and make you clean, wash you clean this morning. I don't know. This will be the best analogy. It's what I saw was, I don't know if you know the movie Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. And the guy comes out, he swims through a kilometre or so of poo. And he comes out the other side and he stands in the river there, and then the rain comes down and washes him clean. One of the things I felt this morning is, if people here today, and you know in your heart, maybe there's something you've been involved in, something you've done, these things maybe on your heart. You may be good at hiding physically, but you know. What I felt this morning is the rain of heaven wants to come over your life. It wants to come and wash away. Just like that man as he lifted up his hands and the rain came down. Just as Jesus reached out his hand and touched that man, and immediately he was made whole. If you're here this morning, and you know that there's some things that you just need to get right with the Lord, things that maybe you're ashamed of, all you've got to do this morning is just lift up your hands. Not to me, to Jesus. A lot of us have got things that we're ashamed of. But Jesus, the Bible says, wasn't angry. He was full of compassion. And he reached out and touched. Today I see the Lord just, it's almost like he's holding a shower, and he just wants to wash you, wants to wash off the dirt, wash the muck off your life this morning. And if you are willing just to allow him to come and wash you and wash you clean.
Amen.
Rain of heaven, come and fall on this place. Fall on your people this morning, Father. the rain of heaven even right now just come, just start to wash those that are, wash shame away today, wash uncleanness, wash today, Holy Spirit. Wash grief away. Wash hopelessness, wash rejection away today, Lord. Holy Spirit, minister to your people today. Laurie, I don't know if you're here this morning, but you may be watching online, you may be here. Laurie, I just felt the Lord place you on my heart this morning, wants you to know how much He loves you. He loves you very, very much. He wants to do a healing work and a restoration work inside of your life. One of the things I saw was this, just as I was worshiping, just as I was praying, I had you in my heart. One of the things I saw was like a knot. It was like a knot in a rope. That knot was in your heart. And one of the things I felt was this, that the Holy Spirit's going to do a fresh work. He's working in your life right now. And one of the things I saw Him start to do was start to undo the knots in your heart. You've been hanging on to a bunch of things for a long, long time. And Lord wants to tell you how much He loves you. And you've got grandchildren, and you know the love that you have for your grandchildren. And this is what I felt for you today. And the same, more than the love than you show your grandchildren, that's how much the Lord loves you. He loves you, He wants to minister to you, He wants to bring restoration and healing into your life. You're a good man. You're a good man. You're a good father. You're a good granddad. He wants to bring a healing and relieve you of some of the anxiety, some of those knots in your heart. I bless you, I bless your family today in Jesus' name. I bless your whole household today. May you be experienced peace. Come on, just one more time, just lift our hands. We give you glory today, Father. Yes.
There was someone either here or listening online, and you have a plan, and it's not a good plan. There's something that you've been thinking about in your heart, and it's been going round and round, and I felt the tenderness of God and the love of God for you, and it's His kindness that's saying stop, reconsider. And I just encourage you to reach out to one of the leaders here, and we can help you. We'll help you. But this plan, just stop, even right now in the presence of God, and let His tenderness turn you. Let His tenderness touch that emptiness and that pain, and know that there's hope.
Yes.
My dad, 75 years young.
Who would know that you are 75? You're like a legend, like a living legend. We've had a great family celebration last night, and there'll be another celebration tonight. But we want to honour you both, because both of you are in your 75th year.
Yeah.
And who would know? You guys just have more energy than just about anyone I know. You leave preachers in your wake with your energy, and it's not just because it's not a natural energy, it's an energy that comes from heaven because God is your source.
Yeah.
And I think for each one of us, if we could be half of that, the way you have through trials, through ups and downs that people have no idea about, you have stayed steadfast to God. And the testimony of that is who you are today and the way you are running your race. You ain't walking it, you're not hobbling it, you're not limping it, you are running it, and we are chasing you to catch up. So we honor you today. Why don't we stand up? We want to give them a gift this
yes.
morning from the church.
Let's remain standing. Apostle Mike, come and bring the word. You ready to come bring the word on your birthday or Valentine? Yes. Come on.
Always ready.
Come on.
Always
Let's
ready.
Welcome him this
Thank
morning.
You. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Come on, let's give Jesus a shout. Let's give him the honor. What a great God we have. Lord, we honor you. We worship you.
Yes, Lord.
We give you all the honor. All you've got, all you're doing, all you're about to do, we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Wow, praise the Lord. Please be seated. Thank you so much, you know, for your wonderful words of honor and appreciation. And thank you for carrying the baton and building on what we've done. It's just such a joy to be in a church that's full of people and vibrant and alive. And full of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
It's wonderful. Thank you, worship team. What a great job you've done. Come on, let's give them a clap and appreciate them. Man, oh man. And thank you, Jim, for coming. Great to have you here with us. Jim was one of two people that really helped impart faith to me. We all need people that'll believe in us and walk with us and say, come on, go harder, go higher. Amen. And Jim was one of those. And so he encouraged us. That's why we have the facility. There's not a corner he hasn't been in. He did it pretty well. We didn't pay people to do it. We had Jim and just a few others just helped on the journey. And then we came down. This used to be just a big open area. And we actually set it up as a skate rink. So we had all the skateboarders come in and we did a barn dance in here. There was nothing here. It was just nothing. It was empty. It was so big. I remember looking at it thinking, that's too big. Well, really, the problem was I was too small in my thinking. And Jim said, no, we can do this, we can do this. We can put this here and there. And so I was able to, we just sat down and worked out the floor plan, which you see, and then I left it to him and he did it all. And he was able to pace the building with the income flow that God gave us. So we never had to borrow in the 2 years he was building. Then just the last part, we borrowed a bit of money just to get the roof up. We were tired of being not here, we don't need to be here. So we just want to thank you, Jim. Love you and appreciate you. So glad to have you here and your beautiful sister. And Anton, we appreciate you. Yeah. Amen. Well, we just want to open for the Spirit of God to touch our lives today. And I believe God wants to touch people. He's always wanting to touch people. And whenever we worship and honor Jesus, God's Spirit is here to help. Yes. You believe that?
Yes.
I didn't believe that. Amen. Is Peter Hillman here? Peter Hillman, I thought I saw you greeting me somewhere. There he is. There, Pete, come on over here. I want to pray for you. Yeah. While I was worshiping, I felt the Lord just... speak to me.
Amen.
Pray for Peter. Peter came and volunteered his time here, and he just took on a task that's so difficult for any pastor, which is maintaining and looking after everything. And we just love you and appreciate you. Just give me a hand, just one hand like that. That's right. I want you just to close your eyes.
Amen.
Father, I just pray for Peter now. Pray, Lord, for your Spirit and power to touch his life. Now, Peter, God sees the purity of heart that you have. He sees the way you honor him and love him and how you have given and served and sown your life without ever asking for recognition, ever asking for payment, ever asking for anything in return. And the Lord is showing me that you're entering now a new season where God is putting a new mana on you, a new courage on you, a new boldness on you. I see you emerging and gaining stature. You've known what that's like. You've taken teams out and they've looked to you as the leader. And then it was almost like you went through a wilderness period. But that's God's period of shaping you. And he's preparing you for enlargement in leadership and enlargement in influence. His hand is on your life. And he's going to just pour his Spirit on you. I can feel the presence of God on you right now. Whew, touch him right now, Lord. Power of God. Where's Henrietta? Are you here? Henrietta, you need to come too. You're part of this. We just love you. Really appreciate. God has added you into the house. What a blessing you are. We love you. Amen. We love you. Amen. How great it is to see you leading us in worship. And there's great days ahead. Great days ahead. Father, I just pray for Henrietta. I pray for your Spirit and power to touch your life today. I thank you for her. Well, you've walked through many valleys, many disappointments, and many questions. Why? I see you trying to figure things out. And then in the end, you just decided instead of trying to figure it out, you would just trust God. And then God has moved you. In this last 6 to 9 months has been a dramatic shift spiritually in your stature and your position. God wants you to know His favor is upon you, His favor is upon your marriage, upon finances, and upon your family. And I see you emerging with a stronger voice. You've been carrying a fresh confidence and boldness in worship, but God is enlarging in your life a whole mantle of leadership to be a voice for women in this generation. You're not just going to lead in worship, you're going to speak God's word and bring hope to broken people, and particularly broken people from your culture. There's been a fire burning in that area, and we're coming in a season in our nation when God is moving upon Maori people, and God is going to raise you up. You're going to find in this next month, God speak to your heart, and you will weep and weep and weep with a burden for people who are abused and broken and traumatized and dispossessed. And I see God raising you up and putting strength into your life. Holy Spirit, come upon her. Anoint her for this work. Let your power and presence just come over her, Lord. Spirit of God, touch her now. Thank you, Lord. Presence of God is all over you. Where's Fiku? Wonder God wants to touch you too. Where's Fiku? Fiku, Fiku. That's right, I've got to say it right. There you go. Come on, mate. There we go. Come on over. Amen. While I was worshiping, I thought, I saw your face. Then I'd lost the name because I'm thinking about Jesus. But I just then felt God put in my heart just some things for you. Amen. And it's like, you know, sometimes people stand in the shadows. When they're in the shadows, they're not noticed. And it's like all your life, you've been in a shadow, the shadow of others. And there's been a grief you've carried in your heart because of that, because you know there's something much greater you're called to. And God has done a work in your heart. He's bringing you out of the shadow, bringing you out of the shadow of others, establishing your identity as a man of God, as a leader, as a person of prayer, as a man of integrity. And God is raising you up to give you a voice. And I just see the Spirit of God coming on you and breaking something that's been part of the culture you've raised in, where you felt like you can't come out and speak to people. And I just see the Spirit of God coming on you to deliver you from that and to bring you into a boldness in your life. Amen. In this next 6 months, we're going to see you shine forth in a whole different way. Thank you, Lord. Just let the Lord touch you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I just stand against every root of shame. Be loosed in Jesus' name right now. Touch him. Touch him right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God is here. God is here today. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for two other people just at this point. I had a vision while I was worshiping there of a person who'd been on a ladder and fell off the ladder. Ladder collapsed. You fell off. You've injured your back and you're in pain. You've been in pain for some time now. Who's that person? I want to pray for you. It was recently, kind of maybe 6 months or something, you came off a ladder and there was a pain. You've struggled with pain. Who's that person? You just come right now and we'll pray for you. God wants to touch you and heal you. Who's that person? You're involved. You're on a ladder, fell, and your back is injured. There you go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come on, stretch your hands out to Him. Let's believe for God to touch Him right now. Father, we just thank You. Father, we thank You, Lord. You're the God who heals. Father, right now, we thank You. There's nothing impossible to You. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we just pray. I just pray for healing to flow into your spine and your back right now. I command every part of your spine to be restored, to be made whole. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command all pain to go, all stiffness to go in Jesus' name. I command release into your spine in Jesus' name. Whew, touch Him, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. That's right. Release him right now. Release him right now. Command that spine to be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There you go. There you go. Good on you. There's one other person I wanted to pray for. And there's a woman here, and you're struggling with fear. Immense fear came around your life about the age of 7. There was an incident happened in your life. And as a result of that, you've lived in fear. And every now and then it'll come over you and you withdraw. Who's that woman who's struggling with that? I don't want to give any more information around it. Just want to pray for you for God to set you free. Who's that woman who's struggling? She's about the age of 7 and then fear came around you. Here we are. Thank you, Lord. Now again, stretch your hands out to her. Thank you, Lord. Just close your eyes. What's your name, dear?
Jacinta.
Oh, Jacinta. What a beautiful name. Father, I just thank you. Lord, time is irrelevant to you because you dwell in eternity. And so, Lord, we ask that you would invade that moment at 7 years of age when, Lord, she experienced something that caused a spirit of fear to enter her life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break every soul attachment to that trauma. I break it now in Jesus' name. I speak into every cell in your body and I command healing from the impact of what you experienced. I command every cell to release the memories of trauma, the pain of it, the shame of it. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority over fear, spirit of fear, loose her now. Loose her, release her, release her right now. Let her go right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see the presence of God is really all over you right now. Lord, just let your healing work go deep into her life, deep into her heart. Just speak into your nervous system. I command peace to come into your nervous system. I command sleep patterns to be restored. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray you rest in her night's sleep, no longer waking up troubled. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Well, wonderful. Come on, let's just open our heart and open ourselves to the Lord today. I want to share something with you and stir you all up to get engaged again. Amen. So why don't we just, if you have a Bible with you, you could like to look up in Genesis chapter 26. I've had this burning in my heart probably for a couple of weeks now, and David's been mentioning it, and I thought, well, one of us is going to get to speak on it. I'm first up, so I get the chance. He'll do it differently, and that's okay. So in Genesis chapter 26, I want to speak a message called Open the Wells of Life. Open the Wells of Life. And we're going to read from Genesis 26 and verse 15. I encourage you to read the story yourself. And those who are watching online, we welcome you to come. God wants to touch you where you are. And I pray that the Spirit of God will move and minister to you online, wherever you're sitting right now, especially our special friends in Australia, America. God bless you. And thank you for your birthday greetings. And in Genesis 26, 15, now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which Isaac's father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and filled them up with earth. And Amalek, that's the Philistine leader, said to Isaac, go away from us. You're much mightier than we. And Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he called them by the names his father had called them. And also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water's ours. And so they called the name of that well, they called it Esek, because they quarreled. Esek means quarrel, fighting. Yeah, there's a lot of people of that situation right now. So then he moved on. They dug another well, and there was a quarrel over that one also. And he called its name Sitna, meaning hatred. There was so much. It wasn't just quarreling. They actually hated him. And then he moved from there. And notice he's not contending with people. He did exactly what Abraham did when there's strife. He said, it's okay. And then you'd fight over this. I got another source. That's a real message just right in there about that. And he moved from there, dug another well, and they didn't quarrel over it. And he called the name Rehoboth because he said, now the Lord has made room for us. We will be fruitful in the land. And he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared that night. He had an experience, an encounter with God when he dealt with these wells properly. And it says, the Lord said, I'm the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear. I'm with you. I'll bless you. I'll multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there, called upon the name of the Lord there, and pitched his tent there. And would you believe it? Dug another well. And so you find, I thought there were only three wells there. Then I found there are at least five that are named, and there's others that he dug. So you find then there's a whole story of a man of God moving forward, digging wells. And so I want to just talk about the wells. Now, remember when we're looking in the Bible, that the Bible uses natural things to give you a picture to help you and understand a spiritual thing. So we live in a physical world, but there's a spiritual world. And so the Bible's full of stories in the Old Testament that give natural pictures that are prophetic of something else. And you have to realize that all of these people in the Bible, they have their story, but they're part of a much bigger story. And you have your story, but you're part of a bigger story. And when all you're thinking about is your story, you're not caught up in the bigger purpose God has for your life. And so as we're going to look into the story here and talk a little bit about the issue of wells. And so you find in the Bible, there's many mention of wells. In the Middle East, if you haven't got a well, you die. You needed a well. A well, source of water. Of course, here we live, we can just turn the tap on, take it all for granted. You go to Pakistan and the water kills you or poisons you or causes you to have the trots, whatever. Well, you know, you understand then how precious water is. Being to India and you've had to pour the water out with a piece of cup over yourself, then you appreciate running water. And so we just take it all for granted. But in this culture, water was essential for life. No water, no life. You died. And so wells then are a picture for us of a source of water, a source of life. And I'm going to open up some things about it. So when the Bible's talking about a well, it's referring to two things. We could refer to many things, but I'll give you two of them. One of them, the primary meaning of a well or the significance of a well, it pictures a source of water. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is pictured like water that flows out and brings life. But you have to draw on that water. And we'll touch a little bit about that. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus spoke in John 4:10. There was a woman had come to him. The woman was broken. She'd been abandoned in 5 marriage relationships. She's now living with a man. She's carrying shame. Her heart is broken. There's no hope for her future. She's living in an insecure situation. She comes to a well and has an encounter with Jesus Christ. Look what Jesus says to her. Jesus asked her to give a drink, get him some water. And he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is, John 14:10, 4:10, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would give you living water. So he's meeting a woman by a well who's broken and in shame, and she's drawing water out naturally, and he then starts to explain the significance, and this is Jacob's well. This is a well dug by Jacob in the Old Testament. And so he says, if you knew what water I could give you, you would come to me. Notice what he says. He said, she said, you would have asked him, he'd give you living water, water that brings life. And the woman said, well, you've got nothing to draw from. The well is deep. Where do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? And he said, whoever drinks this water is going to get thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. The water that Jesus will give will become in him a well or a fountain springing up. And notice the language he's using, to everlasting life. And notice what she says, I want that water. Give me some of that water. Give me. This is a woman who's at the end of herself. She's carrying all this pain and brokenness of being abandoned, rejected and abused in relationships, cast off of no value whatsoever. And he says, you know, you keep coming to this water, you're going to thirst again. But he said, I got a water to give you. If you drink this water, it'll be inside you. It'll be a well. You'll never thirst again. You'll never long for love again. You'll never long for a purpose again. You'll never long for the things you're longing for. I can bring it to you. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give me the water. Give me this water. I want this water. And so he makes it clear that the natural things cannot quench the thirst we have inside us. God has designed us for connection with himself. You're a spirit being living in a body designed for connection with God. Religion is not a connection with God. Religion is just a lot of things we do to try and please someone. But you see, he's talking about a relationship where you're joined spirit to spirit. The Spirit of God enters your life. And now you have access to the life-giving Spirit of God. Wherever you go, you are a well. And you've just got to learn how to draw on the water of the Holy Ghost. Got to draw on the life that God gives. You know, people are looking for all kinds of things. People are looking for significance, looking for purpose, wondering about why their life is here. And the only way you can find the answer to that is to find it in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
there is a well that he gives us. Sadly, for many Christians, I notice their well has been filled in. We'll get back to that a little bit later because you need to understand what you need to do. So the flow of life of water comes from within us.
Most people, when they are thinking about God, they're thinking of someone up there. God wants a relationship with you where His presence, you're conscious of His presence within you. You are able to draw on Him, draw on His strength in adversity, draw on Him for encouragement, draw on Him for love and affirmation, draw on Him to be filled with His Spirit. That's how we're designed to live. Live from a well within. So Jesus describes the Spirit of God like this in John 7:38. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or inner being will flow rivers of living water. And he spoke this concerning the Spirit that those believing in him would receive. So notice he's saying that he says, if you believe on me, not only will I put my Spirit in you and your thirst will be satisfied, he said, is more than just a being about you. He said, out of your innermost being, out of from within you will flow rivers of life that will impact and bless people. See, the blessing of God is never just to be kept. It's always for others. God said to Abraham, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. So most people live out of like a pauper mentality. I need. God say, no, I want you to become filled with me and overflow and give to others. Pour out from the well of joy and the well of peace and the well of forgiveness and the well of deliverance and the well of healing. Whatever it is that God has put in your life, pour it out. The Bible tells us not only does the well speak of the Holy Spirit, it's also described directly as a picture of salvation. Isaiah says, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. So salvation comes to us when we trust in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Without Christ, we're separated from God. We're trying to live not from our spirit, we're trying to live out of our soul, and we look to the things outside us to satisfy. They can never satisfy. You can never have enough money to satisfy you. But when you're poor, you think if you had it, it would. It doesn't. We think relationships will satisfy. So people go into a marriage hoping that person will meet their needs, and then it falls apart because they're drawing on them for something they can't give. We're not meant to live that way. We're meant to live out of an overflow of a personal life with God. And that overflow flows out to others. What an amazing thing God has called. That's why God wants you connected to Him and in a vibrant relationship so you've got life to give. That life should be tangible, visible, should be attractive. Otherwise, your well has been stopped. Our wells can be stopped, as we see here, and there's a reason why they get stopped. We'll open that up in just a moment. So the Holy Spirit's like a river of water. That's why I love coming here. It's like a river. It's a river. You got to draw on that river. We have to draw on that river, don't you? So what is the significance of wells? Now, I'll leave it to you to look. I could give more, but I'll just open up a few things in the Bible. So in the Bible, when they're trying to make something known, see, Jesus in the New Testament explains what it was all leading to. He's the fulfillment of what God was doing. So he says to the woman at the well, if you knew who it is, if you had revelation of who I am, you would ask me, I'll give you the water you need, and you'll never be thirsty again. And so every well in the Bible has got some things surrounding it that tell us about the importance of the well and keeping the water going. Okay? Not about coming to services. It's about keeping the well alive and flowing. It's meant to flow not just in a service on Sunday with you raising your hands and singing. It's meant to flow everywhere you go. God wants that river. He saw it in Ezekiel. He prophesied. It'll flow out of the house, and everywhere it goes, it'll bring life and healing to people. God's design is not for you to be preoccupied with yourself, but to be an overflow, a blessing for others. They like to be around you because of what you carry. They like what they see. They sense it. They can't put words to it. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the life of God flowing from within. So I'll just give you a couple of examples of the significance of wells in the Bible. Then I want to really get to the point of just redigging the well. So here's the first thing in the Bible was that a well was absolutely essential for survival. And so having access to a well was life or death. If you had no water, you died. It's as simple as that. So we see in the Bible the struggle around the well. Eh? So only the life of God can satisfy what you need. If you don't draw on his life for your love, for your peace, for the things that you need, you're going to look elsewhere and die. You say, well, I haven't died. Oh, now listen, it's a slow death you don't see. That's the deception of sin. People look into pornography thinking it'll give them life. It gives them a buzz, but they don't see it's damaged their brain, it's damaged their heart, it's damaged their spirit. People look into alcohol thinking alcohol make them feel better. It does for a while. But what they don't see is how they're abusing and breaking up all the relations. The things that are of value are being destroyed by their search to meet a thirst. So wells are absolutely essential for life. They're real needs that we have. There are real needs we have. And they can only really be met in God, personally with him. So David cried out like this in Psalm 63 when he was in the wilderness. He said, God, you're my God. Early will I seek you. He said, my soul thirsts for you. I long to encounter you. So David, when he's in his deepest trouble, knew that the real issue is not what's happening around him. It's his need for the touch of God in his life. My soul thirsts for you. My heart longs for you. See? To see and behold your power and glory. See what he's hungry for? He's hungry for God. Now, when you're thirsting in your heart, thirsting for love, thirsting for encouragement, you'll go somewhere to meet the need. You've got to make a decision in your heart. I will turn to the Lord for my need. I'm not going to turn to people. I'm going to turn to the Lord. He can fill me up and overflow me. See? So that's the first thing we see. It was an absolutely essential resource for survival, telling us without the life of the Holy Ghost, you become dry, spiritually dead, very religious. And so he says, what happened? And the second thing is that the wells were a communal place or a meeting place. In Genesis 24:13, and there's a number of stories like this. This is Abraham's servant looking for a spouse for Isaac, the son of promise. A picture of God the Father looking to find a bride suitable for his son, Jesus Christ. That's the picture there. And so where does he find the bride? By the well. See, these pictures, these stories are not sort of like random stories about people. Every story is not just about the person. It pictures something much bigger in God's purpose. That's why you got to look into the story, see? And so here he's standing. He said, well, how am I going to find this girl? And he said, now let it be that the young woman who comes up to me and says, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink and I'll give you camels as well. Now, camels are thirsty. He had 10 camels. That's a lot of water. And she's got to put down the well and pull it all up. And he said, I'll know then that that's the one you've appointed for your servant Isaac. And this is, I'll know you've shown kindness to my master. And so it happened before he finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with a pitcher on her shoulder. And she said this to him, do you want some water? And I'll give you water for your camels as well. And he goes, my, how did that just happen there? So you have to see, there's a lot in, I won't explain all, I'll just give you enough to it, that wells were placed where the community gathered because they're the common source of water. And you find there's at least two, maybe three references in the Bible to a key figure in the Bible finding his bride by the well. And she's not just standing around gossiping, she's drawing from the well, not just for her own needs, but she's got the heart of a servant that will give out to others. God is looking for a people that will love him without asking something. He's looking for a people that will serve, that will open up their heart and use the gifts they have for others. So it's not just about the Holy Spirit coming in and meeting your need. It's about he wants to position you in a community called the church where you can learn and receive from the water of others and you can overflow what you have to them. As everyone has received a gift, minister to others. So every person in the church is called to be a minister of God. You are called to be a minister of God. You are called to carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now what religion does is said, oh, we leave that up to a special person. I'm just me. Don't expect anything of me. That is so wrong.
and it violates God's purpose. God's purpose is every believer be filled with the Spirit and overflow with that life and serve others, minister to others. And when he saw that she had a servant heart and gave water to meet his needs, he said, that's the one, that's the chosen bride for Isaac, the son of promise. Yes. So what's God looking for? He's looking for you to become like that person, to develop a servant heart and overflow with the gifts of God to others. Here's a third thing. A well was often a symbol of covenant intimacy. Let me show you a verse on this. Proverbs 9, verse 15. It's using picture language again. Drink water from your own system and running water from your own well. Now, I'm going to do a lot on that. Let me just say this. He's talking to a young man, and basically he's saying, stay faithful to your covenantal wife and have sexual intimacy with her only, and don't go running around having lots of sexual relationships. So he's basically giving wisdom to a young man how to live a life that will be blessed. And he said, delight in your wife. So notice here, the picture language that's used is of the wife being like a well that he can draw love from in a covenant relationship. And the Bible uses that in a number of pictures. It says that the beloved of Jesus is like a well. So here's the story. Here's the symbol. This is what it's saying there. That the Holy Ghost wants to bring you into intimacy, a relationship that's deep and committed, not casual. So the work of the Holy Spirit will be to teach you that you need to be committed to your walk with Christ. Not just, I'll come and get what I can and then go and do what I want. He's looking for a covenantal commitment. So the well, the place, here's the thing. If you want to stay in the flow of the Spirit of God, your relationship with Jesus must be covenantal. That means I'm committed no matter what. That makes sense to you? So he's saying from that picture there in that story, very, very clearly, stay in a covenantal relationship. Don't go looking here and there to have your needs met. Stay focused and keep Jesus central to your life. Here's the third thing. The fourth thing. Fourth thing is that the wells were a place where God revealed things. We find that in the story of one of the ladies in the Old Testament, Hagar. And in Genesis 21, 18, arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand. I'll make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. Now notice this. She is at the point of death. In fact, she's so thirsty. She knows she's not going to live. She's going to die in the desert. And her child, Ishmael, is going to die with her. And she can't bear the thought of it, so she puts the child away so you're not going to see him die of thirst. And as she's there, there is a well that she can't see. And that's so true, that Jesus Christ is a well that people don't see. And when she cried out to God, God opened her eyes to see what was there that was available all that time, and she couldn't see it. She's on the verge of dying because she can't see what God has made available. And so one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to open your eyes. It says expressly, 1 Corinthians 2, the work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to you what God freely has given you. If you don't know what God's given you, how can you believe for it? If you don't know what God's given you in terms of prosperity, how will you believe for it? If you don't know what God's promised you in terms of health and deliverance and freedom, how will you believe God for it? You'll have problems and not see that God has provided a solution for you. But it's when she cried, it was God opened her eyes and saw the well of salvation that she could draw the life of God from. Here's another couple, and these are quite important ones. A well, one of the significance of a well is a well was always a landmark. You know, a landmark's a prominent feature. We've got Tomato Peak is a landmark. Everyone knows Tomato Peak. Bluff Hill, a landmark. Everyone knows Bluff Hill. Now, in Numbers 21, verse 16, they went from there to Beer. Yeah, there's beer in the Bible. How about that? Which is the well. So beer and well. Beer means well. Isn't that amazing, eh? So when you say have a beer, you say I want to drink from the well, eh? Don't drink too deep, I can tell you now. Not that well. That's going to be a problem for you. Some of you already need to come up and sort that one out, eh? So here's the thing, that the name of the place and the well were the same. In other words,
that the wells formed a landmark. So what's a landmark? A landmark is a site where something historical took place you're trying to remember. So a landmark marked out a boundary of ownership of property. So when people dug wells, they claimed ownership to the area around it because the well provided them life. So a well indicated, and now you're going to see why the Philistines filled in the well. The well indicated there was a territory that belonged to Abraham, and it was to be passed on as an inheritance to Isaac. Now you start to see why they got closed up and why it is there was a contention around it in just a moment. So a well then is it defines a boundary or property ownership. Here's this, that the well of God inside you defines that you belong to God. See, if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you don't belong to Him. Now, it doesn't matter if you come to church, it doesn't matter if you do good works or anything like that. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you don't belong to Him. If the Spirit of God has come to live in you through faith in Christ, then now you belong to God. You belong to someone. Someone loves you. Someone paid a price for you. Someone cares about you. You are marked in a way. You can't see it physically, but the spirit world recognizes it. God recognizes it. You belong to Him. How does He know you belong to Him? He sees the well. He sees the well. He sees His Spirit is in you. He knows you belong to Him. Now, here's the importance of the wells. You notice that there was a contention over the wells. So Abraham was blessed by God and God gave him wells. But notice there was a contention over the wells. And so every time Isaac dug, people contended with him. Now I want to explain to you then that the movement of the Holy Spirit will always be the center of contention. See, the devil doesn't mind if you go to church. It's if you come to Christ, get filled with the Spirit and live a Spirit-filled life. He doesn't like that. The devil doesn't mind you having meetings so long as you don't have move of God, because a move of God will disrupt him and his kingdom. It's the move of the Spirit that makes the difference. And so there's always contention. So wells were a place of contention. They were a place of fighting. Now, you get this. Jesus came and he says, if you come to me, then I'll put something in you that'll quench your thirst. So people came to him. What did he do? He healed their broken hearts. He delivered them. He healed their bodies. He spoke words that brought life to them. And what happened? There was massive contention. Who was the contention with? Religious people. They hated him. They plotted against him. They tried to humiliate him. There was a war. What was the war over? The war was over the anointing and flow and river of the Spirit of God that he carried. When people see you carry the anointing of God, some will be attracted because you offer life to them. Others will be hostile to you without any cause whatsoever. You might say, what have I done wrong? You haven't done anything wrong. It's just who you are. You are a living well. And the more and brighter you shine, the more you upset people. So many times Christians then, for the sake of just being at peace with everyone, shut down their Christian witness, stop carrying that life of the Holy Ghost. They'd rather have everyone like them than live a life that's distinctive and separate. When you stop doing the things others do, they say, what's wrong with you? You're weird or something. You got religion. No, I got something else. I got a well. I don't need to drink from your one. I drink from your one, I end up with a headache and look and full of shame. See? So it's a source of contention. So the Philistines, so think of this. God prospered Isaac. God prospered him. He went from one level of prosperity to another. So what did the Philistines do? This is what it did. It says they envied him and they hated him. They hated the blessing of God in his life. So what is the significance of this word Philistines? If you track the origin of the Philistines, they are the descendants that came from the founder of the city of Babylon, which is the center of the occult and world religions. All religions originate, all occult activity originates out of Babylon, and this man is a descendant of the founder of Babylon. Not only that, the name Philistine means to roll in the dust.
a reference then to when God cursed the devil and said, you'll eat of the dust or roll in the dust. So the Philistines in the story, they represent demonic spirits, evil spirit beings, which contend with you and hate you accessing the wells of God. So what did they do? They filled in the wells that Abraham had dug. Why did they fill in the wells Abraham had dug? Because they wanted to destroy, they wanted to stop the flow of water. They wanted to destroy any remembrance that he had been in that land and that he now was an owner of that land. They wanted to destroy the legacy. Or in other words, if the devil can't stop you walking with God, he'll try and make sure he steals your family from you by you not passing on a legacy. The legacy that needed to be passed on were the wells. The wells symbolized God moving and meeting his needs. They were encounters with God, and the devil came in to destroy the wells. So in the history of our church, God has opened up wells. When we came here, it was very, very distressing. Thousands and thousands of dollars of debt, a handful of people. It was incredibly sad. The well had been filled in. The life flow had stopped. And so when we came, it's not about having a meeting or trying to run a church. There was nothing there much to run. A handful of people that remained faithful to God. And so through prayer, we had to dig a well. I walked around that city center every day for months. We prayed, we fasted. God started to add people. I activated the well. We started to get the worship flowing. We started to get prayer, strong prayer going. We started to get the gifts of God flowing. And then suddenly the well opened up and God came. And there was a move of the Spirit started. Now, when a move of the Spirit starts, unusual things happen. And people either love it or they hate it. Whatever way, there's always going to be a contention around it. And so we became called the Wildlife Center. It was the New Life Center called the Wildlife Center because every meeting we would hold, every gospel meeting we would hold at night, it didn't matter what we preached on. You could preach on the love of God, but the moment you touched anyone, any demon inside them began to scream and yell and manifest. People came from all around the area to watch what God was doing. They wanted to draw off that well. Some of them would stand down the back. They'd go through the meeting, be an ordinary meeting, get to the end of the meeting. As soon as the altar call, they'd run to the back, stand back there, look and see what God's, see what's going to happen. They were both attracted and afraid. But a well had opened up. And people came. They came not just from the area here. I had them ringing up. I had them coming from outside our city. And how do you know? I don't know how they know. When water is flowing, people find out and come. People draw. People are attracted. How could we know that when that well was preserved, that well of deliverance opened up, that well that I carry, that well that God opened up in our life and opened up in the church, that well that people hated and argued and did all kinds of things against, I had people shout at me. Pastors I was friends with shouted at me and hated me for the well. I said, no, this is God touching people. I'm holding on to this well. And so that well opened the way for me to go into all corners of the world. Thousands upon thousands of people impacted because I can draw on a well God opened. When you have an experience with God, when God blesses you and brings revelation to your heart and you become activated in your spirit, then you have a well. Wherever you go, you carry that. You can draw on that. You can draw on the gift of prophecy. Draw on love. If you're gifted in finance, then that well opens up. Suddenly you begin to prosper. No, people get angry. People get jealous. But you know it's God. It's not your cleverness. It's not your work. It's not you were smart. 1993, I felt there was a desperate need for a new move of God. I heard in Christchurch, this is what I heard. You know what I heard in Christchurch? I didn't hear about a move of God. I heard about the contention that all the Pentecostal pastors in Christchurch had gathered up against one person. I said, no one could unite them like that. except it's a move of God, and they're against it. So religious. And so I was inquiring about it, wasn't I? And I rang up a friend, Peter Kirsten. I said, "Peter, was God there in those meetings?" And he said, "Oh, it was powerful." I said, "I gotta have her come here and open a well in this place." We came, she came, and there was contention around it. Contention with the local pastors. I brought her to meet them because God moved. We had an open heaven. There were angelic manifestations. There were healings. There were deliverances. There were all kinds of things happening. And I thought the local pastors will love to meet her. I bought them and arranged a special meeting, and they were hostile and angry, and I had to shut down the meeting and take her out. This is the reality of it. Not everyone who says they love God love the freedom the Holy Spirit brings. They often look at it through the filter of their own understanding or history or tradition, and then resist it. I remember one of the pastors saying to me, a senior pastor around here, he said, "I just see muddy water." And I said, "Well, I see water, and I know about muddy water. If it keeps flowing, it'll clear. I'm so thirsty, I want that water." That was the difference. See? And so God opened up something that spread from here. We had a conference here. The anointing that was in this place, the well that opened up here, ran around the world. See, there are wells opened up in this place. Amen. Here, I said, we need to do overseas missions. And so our first one, Jim led it to Tonga. I think they did building. Just started simple like, building. Put up a building, helped the pastor out, sang songs, witnessed, did a bit of preaching. Came back another year, then some Cook Islanders were added in. And so a team went out to the Cook Islands. Joy took a team out to the Cook Islands, and then something started over there. And then God started to open up doors. And gradually the nations opened up. We touch now millions of people around the world. This is the well God opened up. Wells of missions, wells of deliverance, wells of healing, wells of revelation, wells of the prophetic. But I said, notice in the story, the Philistines filled in the well. They wanted to take the source of life. They wanted to take life from you. They wanted to destroy legacy for the next generation. I am so proud of my son. For his heart to carry these things and dig those wells again. It's not just a natural son, also a spiritual son. Together they paid a price to dig wells. This is what happened. The devil came to fill in the well. He wanted to take away the future. I see that happening with so many people. They get a touch of God, but they never value what they got and hold on to it and develop it and build it and build a lifetime where they remain an open well. The devil comes, fills them with fear, and the well shuts down. They get offended, the well shuts down. The devil will always want to fill your well in. He filled the well in with dirt. The devil will try to fill your well in with dirt. Fill it in with the media. Fill it in with pornography. Fill it with fear. Fill it with offense. Fill it with grief. Fill it with disappointment. Fill it with discouragement. That's what he does. You got to see what it is. You're called to something bigger. You're called to bring help to our nation, help to this area. If you're a young person, God calls you to reach young people, but you got to open that well up. If something got in there in the dirt, this is what Isaac did. He dug the well again. He worked, he labored, he prayed and fasted and worshiped, and the well began to flow again. Sometimes repentance is needed to get the well flowing again, because you've compromised, because you've been caught up with the cares of life, caught up with the worries about what's going on in the world. Listen, they're all going to go on anyway. Get your mind on what God is doing. Open the well again. Open the well of God in your life. Prayer, seeking Him, thirsting for Him, fasting, crying out, "God, I want a fresh encounter. God, I need a breakthrough in my life. Listen, the Bible says when you get a breakthrough, when you overcome something, you become a well that brings hope to others. We bring hope to people out of the wells we opened up through the pain and difficulties we went through. That's what will happen to you too. No one can dig your well. It's up to you. And this is what I love. Isaac didn't just dig the old wells, raise up the landmarks of what God had done. He dug new wells. He dug new wells. This is what I'm believing for Dave and Kate to do. To dig new wells. New wells, new experiences with God. New rivers of God moving, touching the community in ways we've not seen before. There is such a need. If you read the news, you see how the devil is filling in the wells, removing the landmarks, shutting down conservative viewpoints. It's happening all through the Western world. Soon it'll be here. You need the Word of God to know what God says, or you won't see the well of provision. We need to be searching the Word of God for what He promises for our life, our finances, our future, our marriage, our relationships. Discover what God says and then pray and pursue it until it comes to reality. Then you have a river flowing. They never just churn up. They happen quickly, but it took a long time of digging before you struck the water. I want this church to open up fully again the wells that we once dug. I want you to be part of that and then to go further than we did. Open up things we've never done before. You have a great destiny, a great legacy, but the devil will take it from you if you can't see what you have. Listen, God is wanting to activate your well again. Maybe some of you here, it's filled in, and you need to realize that. There's no joy. That's how you can tell it's filled in. No joy. There's no peace. The well is filled in. See, there's evidence a well is going. There's joy. There's peace. There's life. I'm not interested in what caused it. I just want to know you'll say, I'm going to dig again that well. Repentance, confession of sin will open the well. See? Turning away from bringing your disappointments and heartaches to God, that'll open the well again. Letting God into your heart to heal you, that'll open the well again. Will you let God open your well? Will you pursue Him? David's psalm in the wilderness, God, I thirst for you. I long for you to see your power and your glory. That's what we're hungry for. That's what we're hungry for. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Maybe there's people here today and you've come and there's no connection with God. You have no well of life, so you're drinking from other wells. They can't satisfy. And you know it doesn't satisfy. Jesus said, come to me. If any man thirst, let him come to me. So I'm not calling you to religion. I'm calling you to a person, Jesus Christ, who loves you and died on the cross for you. So your sins could be forgiven, the blocks to the life of God removed, and the well of God opened up in your heart. What a gift of God. If you knew who it was that was speaking to you, you would have asked Him for water, living water. How can you provide that water? You have got nothing to draw from. He said, the water I give will be in Him, a well that springs up. If you're here today, and you're at that place in your life, there's an emptiness that you know of, you know you're disconnected from God. There's a searching going on in your heart. Maybe this is the time right now to say, I want to respond to Jesus Christ. I want to open my heart and life for Jesus to come in. while our eyes are closed and heads are bowed, would you raise your hand if that's you? You say, I want to become a Christian. I want to become a follower of Jesus. Would you raise your hand just wherever you are? God bless. I see a hand there. God bless you. Over there, another hand over there. Over there, another one over there. Thank you, God bless. Down there as well. Anyone else? Anyone? Oh, I see a hand over there. God bless you. Many hands going up. People responding. Is there anyone else wanting to receive Jesus? First time. Praise the Lord. This is what we're going to do. I'd like everyone just to stand. And in a moment, I'm going to invite those who put their hands up or even didn't put their hands up to come forward and make a row facing me. I want to lead you in a simple prayer to invite Jesus into your life. It'll take about a minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes. I want you to just make your way to the front right now. Church, let's give them a clap as people come. Come right now. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Another one coming. God bless. Come on, church. Keep clapping. People are coming. People are coming. Those who put your hands up, would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Each person who put their hand up saying, I want to receive Jesus, would you make your way to the front right now? Just come. Come. Someone from the back there. God bless. God bless. Anyone else? There are several hands went up. Someone over the back over there. Make your way to the front. Why? Come. Come. That's right. Just come. That's right. Just make your way to the front. A couple of hands over there. Over there. Would you come? Right now. Important decision for you to make. Jesus said if we confess him openly, he'll confess us openly too. Amen. Amen. Close your eyes, would you? You have to turn around and just face me. What's your name? Josh. That's a great name. One of the most famous men in the Bible. Great name. God loves you very much. I'd like you just to pray a prayer with me. I'll lead you and give you the words. Everyone in the church, just help us pray together. Help Josh pray this prayer. Ready now? Jesus, I open my heart to you. I ask you to forgive my sin. I receive you as my Savior. I receive you into my heart today. And I give you my life. Thank you for forgiving me and opening a well of life in my heart. Just thank you for Josh. I pray for him right now for your spirit to touch him. Father, I ask that you would heal the pain of being so severely rejected. Touch him. Let him know how deeply you love him. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Let's give him a clap, shall we?